Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Getaway Friday. Friday, November the 14th, 2025. 12 coming up on 13 minutes past the hour here, WGH Talk time. It's another Getaway Friday here on WGH Talk Radio. And I think we're going to have a great series of programs today, which will go through 1 o'clock this afternoon. And then we will be back on tonight, 8:15 until 10 p.m. And Matt's show will be on 10:15 until 11. Now, Matt, I do have to say, was on time the last two Friday mornings. Now, I have not seen him yet, so hopefully he'll show up very shortly. But not in the studio yet, but hopefully we see him very, very soon here. Now, I do want to say that we have had some great calls this week, and I hope that continues today because we really don't have a whole lot of guests on the agenda. We have one guest coming up later in the program that has to do with a Marion subject, so that will be very interesting, and that'll be coming up next hour. And I think that's something everybody's going to want to hear here locally as that story progresses. Also wanted to say that, you know, it's just fun to talk to callers. Let's put it that way. Plain and simple, it's fun to talk to callers, and I'm glad you're out there, and I'm glad you're listening, and I'm glad that we are Marion's number one news source. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. Now, another thing I wanted to say was if you tried to listen to the station after hours yesterday, a lot of people do listen to the station at times when we are not live, which is why we are a streaming station. You can listen to us 24/7, and normally we'll be on. But yesterday, we were doing some updates to the soundboard, so there was a period late last night, yesterday afternoon, overnight last night where the sound would not be coming through if you tried to listen. We were just doing some audio updates, so hopefully we sound very good this morning coming at you on this Getaway Friday. Can you believe 2 weeks from today is the busiest shopping day of the year? 2 weeks from today, November 28th will be the busiest shopping day of the year. Here in 2025. So Thanksgiving is less than 2 weeks away. I think it's taking everybody by storm, the official kickoff of the Christmas holiday, Christmas season, I should say, will be 2 weeks from today. This stuff is coming up fast. Does anybody feel like the holidays are coming up very fast this year and we're really not prepared for it at all? Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. Now, one thing that we have been having a great discussion on here, on this station, on this program, all week, has been about the allocation of $25,000 by city council for people in need in the Marion area. And it's brought on a discussion about SNAP benefits and is there fraud in that program and was it a good idea for city council to allocate this money when the city is having financial problems. I don't know. I don't have the definitive answer on any of those questions, but I do know it's brought a great discussion in the Marion area. And I certainly do appreciate the discussion that we've been having. Now, as of this morning, I still do not have the rules on how this is going to be done or the process that's going to be done for this money to be released, as that all ended up with the mayor and his administration. But again, it does take some time. I think you want to do the right thing, and I'm sure the mayor does want to do the right thing. So you're trying to figure out what to do with this money and how to disperse it. We haven't heard yet, but hopefully we hear soon, and hopefully it's done right. I tendered the suggestion yesterday that maybe a lot of this money should go to the homeless shelter because they don't receive a whole lot of outside money. And then maybe the rest of the money could be divvied up between groups that also need money, like the peanut butter jelly truck and some food pantries that do not get stocked very well because maybe their congregation is not as big at their church or things of that nature. Also, the Salvation Army is not a bad way to go. You know, the Salvation Army bell ringers will soon be out for the holiday season. Money there is not a bad thing. So these are all good things and all good ideas, and I think we've had that discussion this week, and we'll continue to have that discussion. And again, the phone lines are open here this morning, 740-383-9944. Well, I just got a message from Matt that he's on the way now, so he will be here very shortly. Now, I should mention that the headphones are still loud. I don't know what transformation. Maybe it's the whole reworking the sound system here. The headphones are still loud. I don't know why they're so loud. I don't think I'm coming through loud because I listened to some of the show yesterday. But for some reason, just in the headphones, it's as if we're blaring for whatever reason. And I think I said this yesterday, but we have the new spray tan place opening up next door to us here at WGH. And there hasn't been a big smell, but it's just kind of a... It's not in our studio, but you smell it in the hallway. It's just kind of a faint little smell that probably was not there before. Not horrible. But I wonder if that has to do with the spray tan place. Or maybe if I'm just imagining this. I don't know what spray tan smells like because I've never had a spray tan. And I've never been around... Well, I have been around somebody when they got a spray tan. I don't remember the smell being... quite like what I smell. It's not a bad smell. Does anybody know, do the spray tans put off some kind of a smell when you get spray tanned? I'm not even sure how this is all being done, to be honest with you. I have not seen anybody go in. I haven't seen anybody go out. It'd be interesting. They go in rather pale here in the winter or autumn, I should say, a cold autumn in Ohio, and they come out looking like they've been on the beach in maybe Southern California or Florida, but I haven't seen that yet. I'm looking for the transformation, I guess. Does anybody know the answer to that? 740-383-9944. Now, something else I should mention. Last night, Channel 4 did a tremendous piece, Colleen Marshall, as she always does, on the death of murder. I shouldn't say death. The murder of Naomi Craig's mother that happened back in 1979, June the 1st, 1979. Catherine Louise Conley was her name. She was 17 years old when she was kidnapped, raped, and murdered. And Colleen came to Marion, I think, last Friday and taped that interview with Naomi, and that aired last night on Channel 4. It was something. It aired in two parts, about 5 minutes each, and it's just, you know, it goes to show you what a compelling story it is that Channel 4 would want to cover it, and basically their lead anchor, Colleen Marshall, would want to cover it. The story is just so, I think, not understandable for people, that there was a confession letter that was received by the police in 1982, and this murder happened in 1979, and the confession letter was received in 1982, and yet nothing was done. This man who murdered her lived until 2019 and basically lived a free man. Certainly never faced any consequence from this murder in 1979. I don't know how that can happen. I don't know how it can happen. I don't know. You know, it sounds so trite to say nobody's perfect, and I guess the police can't be perfect all the time. But when you see the story and you hear the story, as we heard the story here a few weeks ago when Naomi came in and talked about it for the first time, it's such an unbelievable story to hear that could happen. I really don't know. Did anybody see it last night on Channel 4 or watch it? It certainly is something. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Now, we're getting a message from one of our listeners out there this morning, Phil. He said, I've heard, I'm going to let him say that one. No, I'll say it here. He said, I've heard Trump spray tans, and it smells. Well, I don't know. I don't know if Trump spray tans or not, or whether it smells or not. But that's from Phil this morning. But did anybody see the pieces last night? I know it's kind of hard in the world now to catch these things when they're on, because they're on at a certain time, and it's kind of hard to know when they're on. But Colleen did the great job that she always does, and it was very interesting to see Naomi there telling her story, because it is such a personal story. And where it goes from here, I don't know. But it, I don't know. You know, is does it outrage people? Does it make people feel uncomfortable with the way things have gone on? It's just one of those things where you wonder how something like that can happen. Again, I guess in the back of your mind, you go, well, things happen, but when it's somebody's life, you don't want to fall back on the idea that things happen. I don't know. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944, on this Getaway Friday. And again, the phone calls have been great this week with everybody calling in. So if anybody wants to call in and talk about anything, we would be glad to hear from you this morning here on WGH Talk. 740-383-9944. Getaway Friday, November 14th, 2025, coming up on 24 minutes past the hour. Well, we're about 2 weeks away from the busiest shopping day of the year. Now, is it going to be a big Christmas holiday, Christmas season this year? The season is not going to be particularly long. It's starting kind of late. It does that because of the way the calendar falls. This year will be a rather short Christmas season. I believe less than 30 days, starting on the 28th. Do you think people are going to be out buying this year? Do you think people are going to be out shopping like they normally do? It seems like we always say, well, there are things that are going to stop this, that are going to prohibit this. And then people go out and shop at the same level and same amount. I don't know. I mean, the economy is not doing very well this year. I don't know how well things will be when Christmas comes around. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning, Scott. How are you?
Doing well. How are you?
Not too bad. Hey, the spray tan thing, it's a rumor. I've never met Trump personally, and, you know, I've heard that, you know, he spray tans and, you know, that there is an odor, or he has an odor. I don't know. That's just the rumor. But on the other thing is I saw the story on Naomi's mom last night, and you know, one of the things that really stands out to me is that, you know, at one point they showed a picture or showed a, you know, video of four or five file folders that were several inches thick of investigation information that somebody obviously put a lot of time into and effort to, you know, to put all that together. And, you know, if you work that hard at doing something, you know, don't you want to see your work see the light of day? And, you know, it just really strikes me as odd and, you know, almost, you know, criminal that level of work. And, you know, how many times did Naomi's family, you know, go there and say, you know, what's the status? Have you heard anything? And from what I understand, they literally were told, you know, there's nothing. And there was, you know, far from nothing.
No, and you know, I have seen the confession letter, and, you know, it's stamped, as all things are in police folders, as coming into them on December 8th, 1982. And for the life of me, I can't figure out if the police had this letter and somebody received it and stamped it December 8th, 1982, why nothing was done. I that is what blows my mind in this whole thing.
Well, and I would think that, you know, and we've all watched all the CSI stuff and all that over the years, and of course with, you know, the O.J. Simpson trial and how it was handled and everything, you know, there's typically a chain of command. There's typically, you know, processes and protocol that when you receive things, there's who received it and, you know, who signed for it, and there's names put with things and dates and times and all of that. And it just, it amazes me that, I mean, Bill Collins and Jay McDonald have been with the force throughout this whole time period. I mean, I got to think that, you know, 79, 80, Bill Collins is my age. I graduated in 82. So, you know, he had to be just be coming into the police force. So he spent his whole career in that organization. And, you know, like if I'm a member of an organization, I have pride in that organization. And, you know, sometimes things happen and it's not a, you know, a good look. But you stand up and say, hey, this is my organization. I was, you know, part of this. And I really want to understand this. And see why this happened. And, you know, I'm the mayor now, and I have this unique perspective and opportunity. You know, I want to be a strong town, and I want to love my citizens. And it's interesting, really.
Well, what's fascinating about the letter, and I should say here that it doesn't obviously mention Naomi's mom's name, but basically, more or less, what it says is that the man, I believe his name was Dana Sloan, says in 1982 in this letter, he says, you know, I killed that girl in 1980, and I mean, you know, the fact that these conclusions could not have been drawn, I don't know. It's a weird letter. You know, the quote in that letter from this man is, you know, I killed that girl in 1980. They still know it was me, that I did it, but they still can't prove it. That's the important part of the confession letter.
Yeah, that, it sounds like he just admitted it, and they can prove it.
Right, and it's not like he wrote this letter to them. They just happened to receive it.
Right, and again, there should have been, you know, in prison, when you receive the letters, there's a paper trail. I would think, you know, when Dana Slane wrote that letter to this man, as I said, there's four or five file folders inches thick, so something came of all of that. It's, you know, how can you fill all, I mean, what do? Just type nothing over and over and over again? I mean, you know, it's what's in those files and what's been redacted, and why was she told and her family told over and over and over again? I mean, you know, just common sense says, you know, this is a police department or police departments, and they want to solve. They take an oath to protect and serve. And so what would cause them to not release this information and not, you know, bear the fruit of their hard work?
Well, and that's it. That's I mean, you think about the police department. This certainly did not do them any good, not to handle this in what most people would feel is a proper way. And you also have to wonder what in 2025 made them all ready to go with a posthumous indictment. I mean, this man has not been dead very long. He died in 2019, I believe. You know, there's a lot of time between the confession letter in 1982 and 2019 that this man could have been charged and indicted. Why was nothing ever looked at? I mean, I don't know the cold case process. Do people go back and look at these things?
I would think. I mean, I would think, you know, again, as a police department, if your mission statement is to solve crime and to protect and serve, and, you know, you really want to, you know, act upon that mission statement, I would think, you know, any police chief or mayor or a conjunction of both would say, you know, we need to routinely go back, and we need to have people going back and going over these cases to see what, you know, new technology, new information. You know, you keep saying, and I keep saying, you know, why wouldn't this come out? But it's kind of like the Epstein files or anything else. I guess you got to wait for people to die. It's kind of like the JFK thing and everything else. You got to wait for certain people to die so that they can no longer have any harm from this. You know, I'm sure this isn't something that, you know, Jay McDonald or Welcome Columns wants to, you know, bring up and discuss, but again, it's in leadership. You got to lead. You got to have the, you know, the strong town celebrations, and you get to enjoy that kind of thing, and you get to bask in it. And you know, every now and then, you got to deal with the ugly stuff too. But I guess it remains to be seen if it's going to happen.
It does remain to be seen at this point. Hey, I did want to ask you, as you watched the interview, just strictly from a point of television and the fact that, just unfortunately, there isn't a whole lot of time. I believe it was 2 5-minute segments last night. What did you make of just the interview itself and what was said and Colleen Marshall and Naomi? I thought it was a very powerful piece.
Oh, yeah. I think it's, I mean, what can you say? Just watch it. Watch it and listen and learn. And I mean, there's so many people that come against Naomi and her style. And you know, there's people last night on some posts and people that I actually know, or you know, and it really pisses me off that people, I mean, she's rough around the edges. You know, some of us are, and a lot of us are. I am too. And a lot of it's because we've fought battles by ourselves, and we've been stabbed in the back, or we weren't able to trust. And this isn't a poor me story, and it's not a poor me story for her. She's strong as hell. But you know, people getting upset because they don't have a grasp, and they have no. I mean, these same people are often same people who profess to be, you know, Christians or of faith or whatever, and I see such a lack of grace or understanding, and I think it was a very powerful story. I think it was a very powerful interview. I commend Colleen Marshall for what she's doing and continuing that she will continue to do. I think Naomi's a, you know, an awesome person. We don't agree on everything. You know, she's mad at me, I'm sure, about some of my snap comments and this and that. But you know what? That's life, you know? I mean, diversity is the spice of life, and I think we need to all learn to work together and move forward in life.
Yeah, well, I did not read the comments. What are people angry about? I mean, in this particular story, what in the world are people upset about?
And I'm not going to get into anybody's names or anything, but it's just, I think people, any opportunity that they see Naomi getting any kind of attention, I really don't understand it. Like I said, I just met Naomi back in March and wasn't a part of any of this, don't have a dog in the race. I just went and started watching things at Marion City Council and how she rolled, and I kind of, you know, can see her path. People are mad about her style. I mean, they're mad about her attacking city council. I mean, does she attack? Yeah, sometimes she does, but she's attacked too. I mean, she's defending herself. She's a woman who has to stand up in a man's world. You know, I was raised by a single mom who took no shit from anybody. And you know, that's Naomi, and thank God she is who she is, you know? I mean, if not for her efforts and continuing on and being who she is, I doubt all of this would have even come out as it is now.
Well, it's unfortunate if people, I guess, don't like her tact, I guess is what I'm hearing at City Council. I don't know what in the world that has to do with this particular story that
Aaron... Exactly. It has nothing to do, so it's just anger at her. It's anger at her because she attacked, you know, so-and-so or so-and-so. And you know what? Those people signed up for it. You know, if you run for a leadership position, you're held to a higher standard. Every one of you, you all run on, you're going to do it better. And then when you get caught doing it the same as everybody else, it's like, well, I'm not as bad as the rest of them. And what about this and what about that? You're lame is what you are. If you're going to run for office, stand up and stand on what you're going to, what you say you're going to do.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, Jason Schauber, I don't even remember what it was, but he brought a motion the other day in council, and it kind of got shot down, and he's like, well, or not. And I made the comment kind of, you really stood on that. And I was just messing with him. But it's, you know, I think a lot of politicians, not necessarily just today, but always, but politicians, you're not to be voting on people-pleasing. You vote on things because it's what you believe is right or wrong for your constituents.
That's true. That's true. I think a lot of people would agree with you. Hey, thanks for being out there. Thanks for calling in.
All right. Have a great day.
Bye-bye. Bye. Matt has joined us in the studio here this morning. 740-383-9944 if you'd like to call in. Well, it's an interesting time. That's for sure. We haven't had a chance to talk with Matt about Monday night city council meeting. The big story was basically the $25,000 that was given to Mayor Collins to be distributed to people in need during the loss of the SNAP benefits. It's gotten some positive response and gotten some negative response. What do you make?
I don't know. I don't know why there's a negative response, really. I mean, I guess I understand that the city's finances aren't doing the best, but I mean, I think if there's ever a time to spend city money to help people, it'd be right about now.
Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Scott. Do we know anything about the guy that killed her mother?
He's dead. We know that.
Huh?
He's dead.
Yeah. Did he come from a prominent family? Does he have any connections? You know, was there anybody in the police department that knew him? Or, you know, was his family wealthy? Or do we know any of that?
Not to my knowledge.
Because that, in a little bit, that's what it sounds like, that, you know, he may have come from a prominent family, had relatives in the police department or something. But just why that was just never followed up on, I don't know what you can say or what the police department can say. I mean, it was, the ball got dropped and they didn't fall on the ball.
Well, did you happen to see either of the pieces last night on Channel 4?
No.
Well, stay tuned this morning. We'll have a little follow-up on that. But I guess since, I have seen the confession letter now, and as I read earlier, it does not mention the victim's name, Catherine Louise Conley. It doesn't do that, but basically, you know, he says let me read the quote here. He says, I killed that girl in 1980. They still know it was me that I did it, but they still can't prove it. So, you know, the police department received that back in 1982, December of 1982, and that's written by the guy who did it. And I don't understand, it's stamped from the police department. They know they received it. Why was nothing done then? I mean, that's some pretty good evidence if you want to go to a grand jury.
Yeah, and why they didn't stay on it heavy. You know, especially since they had that, you know. There should have been some way that they could have connected him. Or going after, did he have was there anything else in his past that, you know, they could get him on? You know, I don't know.
Well, I think he did spend some time in prison, I for other things, but...
Your last caller, you know, was talking about how... people, you know, in council and then, you know, whatever, need to be held to a higher degree. Well, that's with that Ron Prater thing, and using, I've never seen what he did, but, you know, using a Muslim I don't know, in the context of laughing or putting them down or something. But that was my, I called in and said, you know, that day that it was wrong. And it was not just something he said as a joke or something like that. You know, people that are in government that represent us should be held to higher standing, and that was wrong. However, you know, he once supported or something like that, you just, I don't care what your feelings is, you represent everybody. And, I don't know.
Well, no, I think it's very well said, and you know, you hope that people do represent everybody, and they are going to be held to a higher standard. But I think we also have to understand that people do have the ability to apologize. Whatever the, you know, there are different levels of things that are done that are wrong. And it seemed as if Mr. Prater, not to go back to this issue, but it was a week ago today, he understood what he did was wrong. He did apologize. And he did take the post down. So
yeah, a lot of times when people apologize, they're just apologizing because they got caught or there was a big ruckus on something. I mean, sometimes apologies are better if it's done without, you know, a big ruckus of what you said. You know, maybe he could have, the following week after he posted that, could have said, "Oh, I think that was wrong," and done an apology before the heat came down. Of course, everybody's going to apologize, you know, after something comes out or they get caught or whatever. And just people really mean it.
Well, I think the problem is that if there is no ruckus, how do you know you've done something wrong? And I think that's...
You knew going after any group was wrong. But, see, he doesn't feel it was wrong. That's the thing. And then you only apologize because, you know, there was a ruckus made, you know.
Well, see, this is what I've been talking about. Well, this was a meme, obviously. And this is what I've been talking about with memes and things of that nature. It's a little problematic on the whole. Because when you do something like that, you can say it's comedy and people fall back on that. But was it really comedy? I don't know. Maybe it's comedy when people start coming after you. Now you might have a different opinion at that point. But I don't know. What do you think, Matt?
Well, I think that whether or not... I don't know Mr. Prater's reason for, reposting it. But... I certainly think that, I don't know the intent of whoever made it, but it certainly seemed, I don't know, really, personally, how it's funny. There's not really a joke there.
But I called in before and told you, you know, I apologized to people before when I realized what I did wasn't the right thing. And, you know, standing up and not apologizing, that don't make you man. You know, if you realize you've wronged somebody, apologize. And I didn't wait until the fan hit, you know, when everybody was coming on me, "Oh, Lee, you did it." No, I realized that a little bit later afterwards, and I realized I was wrong, and I gave apology to the person, not because I was kind of being forced because everybody's coming down on me. And that's, you can apologize for something, you know, if you realize it's wrong or you know it's wrong, you don't have to wait till, you know, everybody comes down on you for it. If you've done somebody wrong, apologize. And, you know, I can a lot easier accept your apology that way than when you're totally forced to do apology.
But you don't find it possible that Mr. Prater didn't foresee the backlash? That he didn't think what he was posting was all that contentious?
Well, he probably didn't, because that's the way he thinks. You know? When you make fun of any group or whatever, you know? Especially, you know, Prater, I'm 64, he's probably close to my age, but, you know, discrimination, when I was a teenager and in my 20s, was a lot more prevalent than what it is today. You know, I got remanded by a colored person for calling them colored. And it's black. You know, but back in my day, that's how they referred to people. Colored people.
Well, and here's the thing. And I am not inside Mr. Prater's head. And like I said, we've chewed this food quite a bit in the last week. But I don't know. It was a meme. And I don't know that Mr. Prater thought a whole lot about it, because I've looked at his social media page. He posts a lot of political stuff. He posts a lot of memes. He posts a lot of... It's a lot of reposting. It's not stuff that he comes up with. So I don't know when he did that, if he thought that was going to cause the kerfluffle that it did. I imagine if he thought it was, he wouldn't have done it. So I'm not saying it's right, but... It's not out of his character. It's not like it was the first meme he's ever posted. It wasn't the first thing he's ever shared, and he didn't come up with it. It came from somewhere else. And that's the problem of where we are now. You know, I say it all the time. What is true and what is false? Who knows? You know, people put so much bad information out there. I mean, certain people know what's true and what's false, but... I don't know if the entire audience always does.
Yeah, you know, I've never seen nothing about that. I'm not on Facebook or social media, so, you know, I don't want to, you know, I'm not saying anything bad about him, but I'm just saying, if you do somebody wrong, you apologize, it doesn't have to come out and people, you know, getting on you about it before you do it. You know, and he, you know, I don't know exactly what it was, but I just wanted to, you know, bring that up.
Well, no. I appreciate it. And like I say, stay tuned. We'll have a lot to talk about this morning.
Okay.
Thank you. And again, the phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. If you have anything to say on all this or any of this, feel free to buzz in. So, Matt... Back to this $25,000 that the city has allocated, your opinion is, if you're going to allocate money, this is the time to allocate, but what do you say to the people who say that the city's in financial trouble and they shouldn't be doing this?
I mean, the city wasn't in great I mean, one of the things, I mean, when Scott Schertzer, before he left, he vetoed the pay raises, and, like, one of the things he said was something along the lines of, I could not in good conscience, you know, vote those pay raises in due to knowing the state of the city's finances. So, the city's finances haven't been great for a minute. I think that, you know, if you can throw a $10,000 party, I think that you could give some money to, like, the homeless shelter or the food pantries in a time of need.
But I think now the question is, did we have the money to throw a $10,000 party?
Well, we did, so...
We did. I don't know. I guess timing's everything, but what do you make of the lash that people have... That there has been a backlash to this?
I mean, it doesn't really surprise me. It's people dislike, you know, the SNAP and the EBT and the WIC and things like that. So, I mean, it's just like small. I understand it's not the same thing. They're not giving the money directly to people, but it's similar. I think that it's something like that. People just don't think that. That's something the government should be doing.
Well, but is it? You know, I always wonder, if you are an elected politician and you're elected to represent your ward or your district, I mean, I can't imagine anybody in any ward in Marion thinking this is not a positive move considering the number of people who receive SNAP benefits in Marion, Ohio.
Well, I mean, I think it's something pretty cool. I don't remember what it is. I mean, the number was given the other night at the city council meetings, and I think something like 11,000 of those, if I remember correctly, something give or take, were children and, I guess, elderly.
Well, one of the listeners this morning, if you are millions in debt, what's another 25,000 on the balance sheet? So there you go. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, man, one of my credit cards, I just maxed out. I figured, what the hell, you know? You're talking about the money for the party, the $25,000, which going to a good cause. What do you think, and have you heard much about the governor? I don't know the total story other than from what I saw in the dispatch, and I think even Marion, the governor approving $600 million for a new stadium for the Cleveland Browns. That got your tongue?
Well, I mean, I know that Cleveland City Council also passed voted in favor of helping the Cleveland Browns build a new stadium. So,
I mean, isn't this a revenue thing, though?
Yeah.
Isn't that the idea?
I mean, Cleveland, like, the Browns bring in a lot of money.
If it were a revenue issue, you would think, why do they need help? What is the payroll of the Cleveland Browns? You would think, hey, let's get the players to chip in because they're going to see a return on their investment.
The players hold no stake in the actual team.
And the taxpayers.
The players hold no stake in the actual team.
Well,
the player wouldn't do that.
I don't think that most teams own their stadiums because the stadiums are also used for concerts. They're used for other things that the city or the county they're in.
Well, if it's owned by the county or the city or whatever jurisdiction, you know, they don't like it. So, hey, well, we might move out. Oh, fear of missing out. Oh, we might move out. Well, we better build a new one. As I recall, the Cleveland Browns Stadium, that's not that old, is it?
So, I looked it up here, by the way. So, the total estimated total cost of the Browns' new stadium is going to be $2.4 billion, and they paid $1.2 billion, and Cuyahoga County is going to pay, or I guess is expected to pay at least the remaining $1.2
billion. So they're projecting the cost of the new stadium, $1.2
billion? $2.4
billion. $2.4 billion.
Yes, the Browns are going to pay half of that, and I think Cuyahoga is going to pay the other half.
Well, and then you got whatever the $600 million or whatever the governor is committed to.
But the Browns don't own it.
Well,
they lease it, which means that, well, if you don't build us a new one, we're going to pull out of town and find a place that will.
Yeah,
well,
pretty much.
Well, but most things run like that when you lease something. I mean, if your lease is coming up and you don't like the shape that the place is in and you're hearing problems or you think it's affecting your attendance in some way, you go to your landlord and you say, I don't like this.
Well, also, the reason that they're moving... Ooh, I hit the mic. The reason that they're moving they want a new stadium is that they don't like where the other one is. Because they want to put up more parking garages around it and hotels, so they want to try to make it more of a revenue generator because they want people to, come in and stay at the hotels and park at the $50 parking garages.
Well, it just seems to, there should be enough private funding that the state shouldn't necessarily kick in. But it all depends upon the contract. How much money
it's
going to get? What's the return on investment, I guess, is the big question.
Yeah, but the funny thing is, now people weigh all these things and they talk about all these things, but last time this happened, in I believe it was the 90s, and the city did not collapse, and they said, no, we're not going to do that. And the Browns threatened to leave, and then they left in the middle of the night. People certainly didn't like that after it happened, and a lot of those people came under tremendous scrutiny.
Oh, it's funny, by the way, because, you know, the year that Baltimore, or sorry, well, I guess they're Baltimore now, but the year that the Browns went to Baltimore, they won the Super Bowl as the Ravens.
Right, but there people did not like that they left. And
well,
they're
I bet
trying...
you lost your football team.
Yeah, but no, but you had this big argument. They didn't just leave because they wanted to. They left because they were tired of going through the red tape. They didn't want to have these conversations. They were having them, and people said, well, what's it going to cost, and should we do this, and we don't really think they're going to leave, and blah, blah. Well, they left.
Well, yeah, that's what... Yeah, I mean, that's why they end up paying half, usually.
That's right,
usually
so that's what... This is not a revenue conversation. It is a, do you want to lose your team again or not?
Well, I mean, it certainly brings in revenue. That's why, like, that's the
no,
whole...
No, it is revenue, but if they leave, the people aren't talking about revenue anymore. Then they're talking about, we lost our team, and we've got an old stadium here, so what are we going to do? And they certainly built a new stadium when they came back.
Like, for Cleveland and for Ohio, I'm sure the between the Browns and the Bengals, that they're paying a good bit in taxes.
Yes, it is a revenue starter, but the caller's point is here, why should government be involved in this at all? Well, if government doesn't get involved in it, you have issues where the team will leave. And people certainly don't like when that happens.
Well, hey, tough. I didn't like it when my girlfriend left me, but will the governor do something to bring her back to me?
Well,
just think, though, if there was professional midget football, baseball, basketball, you'd have a much smaller playing field. You could get more people in there, much smaller basketball court, baseball diamond, etc. Something to think about. And maybe the tickets could be smaller, too.
Yeah.
To a better tomorrow.
Thank you. Well, I think on the whole, this is just a revenue conversation, but I never really understand why people get upset when a government body makes a decision like this. You elected them. If you don't like it, don't elect them again.
I mean, I understand it to some... I mean, I'm not necessarily a... I think that the Browns, if the Browns want a new stadium, they should build it personally. I mean, there's nothing wrong with the stadium they have now. They just don't like the location, like I said. So, I mean, there's that. But I understand not wanting to lose your team, I guess, and that is always the thing. They always just say, well, if you're not going to build us the stadium, then, you know, somebody's going to offer us the money to build us the stadium. So, I mean, it. I don't know. But you're using public finances on private entities.
Right, but public enterprises and public entities make money on private entities. And that's the argument.
I understand.
So there you go. That's all there is to say there.
I mean, there's... But, like, most... well, not most, but a lot of, like... I mean,
wait,
like,
go ahead, caller. You got 30 seconds.
Yeah, Scott, you know, if anybody gives them money for that stadium, you know, the price of the tickets should be reasonable. Man that has two kids and a wife wants to go to a football game, do you know how much that's going to cost you?
Well, that's a problem all over. That's a problem with the Palace Theater. That's a problem with theaters, sporting events, just about anything you go to anymore. Even local theater now, the ticket prices for a family would be very hard on the old pocketbook or wallet.
Yeah, but you know, it just shouldn't cost that much to go to one of those games.
Well, we got to go to... Well, listen, we're going to continue the conversation. We're going to break, but we're coming back in 15 minutes. Don't go anywhere.
Very kind, very fair. You don't jump in and attack me every time I open my mouth. I like the